Now, like Tony, I don't want to be long and heavy. This isn't the sort of day anyway. But about, I suppose it's nearly 10 years ago now, when I was still working at the bank and not retired, I can remember I had a terrible attack of back trouble. Whether it was sciatica or lumbago, I still to this day don't know. But I was terribly impaired and could hardly get up, couldn't go to work, came on suddenly. So we rang the doctor, and he said, well, can you come to the surgery? And Doreen said, well, he can scarcely get up, let alone down to the surgery. So he said, oh, I'll try and see, you know. So the doctor came about midday, and ours is a doctor's practice of about 5 doctors. And there's one doctor in the practice that nobody likes. He's brusque and abrupt, and I don't know whether anybody comes from Marlowe, but they may even know the names. But anyway, in the end, Dr. James appeared around lunchtime, and I was sort of sitting on the settee in agony and discomfort. And he said, get on the floor. He fancied his chance as a physio man. And so he said, get on the floor. So I got on the floor, and he said, roll over. And then he just pummeled me back and actually walked on it and bashed it like this, you see. And then he said, right, get up now, you'll be all right. Well, I'll be going. He said, be painful for a day, but it'll be all right. And he just went out the back door. And you know, I was that brusque sort of person. And those of you who know Dr. James will know it, you see. But I want to tell you that I was better. And whatever bone or joint I got out of place, he put right. Yes, it was sore, but I went to work the next day. They even thought I was swinging a lead, I think, at work. But that was it. But you see, the situation was that my back was right because all the bones got fitly joined together properly. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible says that the human race is out of joint, like my back. And it needs Jesus to restore harmony and to get us back, all the Jones bones, properly put together. We need the Joneses put together as well, but that's quite beside the point. Don't we, Heather? Where is she? Yes, that's right. But anyway, now that's the problem with the human race. And Jesus came that we might operate as a family. Jesus came to make us a family. Jesus came to let us live in harmony. We've been singing it. And that's what happens. And being forgiven and having a forgiving heart and life is one of the secrets of it. We thought about the skipping rope and we laughed about it, really. But it's so like us, isn't it? That happens. And you see, all the relationships go up the pot immediately. We lose that sense of belonging and forgiveness and belonging to each other. Now, if we're going to live that life of forgiveness, there's only one place to start. And we've got to start at the cross of Jesus. That's why we've just been singing, I'm forgiven. Because Jesus, first of all, has died for us on the cross. And he went all the way, and he laid down his life for us. And on that cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he had an attitude of forgiveness immediately to the people who crucified him. Now, I listened on the radio this morning, 8 o'clock news, and they're having special services in Hungerford today, bearing in mind the massacre that we had of that fellow who went around shooting people in the week. But you see, there'll be so many folk, and the papers, Sunday papers are full of it, of folk who really want to get at him. They said, we don't want him buried in Hungerford. He would, you know, you shouldn't have done. And there's an immediate lack of forgiveness. You can see it in the case of the Moors murderers. That never mind the fact that one of them may have been converted and come to Jesus, she's got to stay in prison to keep her from the attitude of the people who were wronged, who are still harbouring those attitudes of resentment. And oh dear, it's so sad, isn't it? And Jesus died on the cross and he didn't harbour attitudes of resentment, and we've got to start there, because Jesus has enabled all our wrongdoing. God has forgiven us for everything wrong that we've done because Jesus died on the cross. So we got to be forgiven. Do you know, back last March and April, Doreen and I went to America, and we went to we enjoyed it. We went to Asbury Theological College and other things too, and it was super. But in America they don't have doctors like us, whereby you just pick up the phone and they come to see you, or you go to the doctor's surgery and they look after you. You have to go to special places and you have to pay every time you see a doctor. You don't get anything on the National Health Service. And so, you know, you're a bit careful. And the doctor keeps a bill, and every month he sends out his invoices for the bills and all the attention that you've had and the medicine you may have had too, you have to pay for it, you see. And there was one particular doctor we heard about in the village where we were staying who was a Christian, and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And the doctors are quite rich in America because they get their money, don't they? And when he died, he put in his will that they were to go through his account ledger and obey it. And his wife sent out the bills for all the people to pay after he died. And one or two of the poorer people weren't able to pay. And his wife said, "I'm going to take you to court." And they went to court, and about 10 people were sued for not paying the doctor's bills by the widow. And in court, the federal attorney, that's what they call him over there, like the judge here, the federal attorney said, "I want to see the evidence. Show me his account books." And they brought the account books of the doctor. And when he looked through a whole series of pages, he saw that on some of the poorer people's pages, there was some handwriting, and it said, "Forgiven, unable to pay." And these people were part of the pages that had that on it. And so the attorney said to the widow, he said, "Whose writing is this?" And she said, "Well, that's my husband's writing, my late husband's writing." So he said, "Well, no court in this land will award you judgment if under your own confession your deceased husband has written, 'Forgiven, unable to pay.'" And the case was quashed. And the folk, of course, went free. Now, that's what God has done for us, isn't it? In the Lord Jesus Christ, he's written over us, as it were, in the blood of Jesus, "Forgiven, unable to pay." So that's the first point. We start at the cross, don't we? And the second thing we need to remember, if we're going to live a life of forgiveness, is to remember that if we have an unforgiving attitude, we harm other people. Now, last week I was away at a conference at Ashburnham near Hastings, and we had 170 Church of England people from two churches who'd gathered for the weekend conference. And after one of the evening meetings at which I was speaking, a lady came up to be counselled. And she was an elderly lady, and she said, "I want to share a tremendous burden I have." She said, "I have one sister, and we haven't spoken to each other for 30 years. And she said, "It was a little tiff that happened when my parents were alive, and my sister walked out, and she cut us off completely. And I've tried to keep contact with her, and through friends I've been able to find out where she is. And last year, when my dad died, I wrote to her and said, 'Dad's died. The funeral is on next Thursday. Can we meet and make all this feud up?'" And she had no reply, and she went to the funeral, and as she was at her mother's house before the hearse came, they had a phone call from her sister that was absolutely abusive and unkind and even threatening. And she came to me, this lady, last week, and she said, "What can I do? She doesn't want to forgive me, and she doesn't want to forgive my mother, and my poor old mum in her 80s is so distressed about this." And all I could say to her was, "She has a free will, but Jesus has forgiven you. You must forgive her and not let blemish your character, and you just got to take it to Jesus and give it to him and say, 'Lord Jesus, give me a heart of love and give my mum a heart of love, and by your spirit you just work on my sister, and just you keep praying.'" You see, when you have an unforgiving attitude, you hurt all sorts of people. It's terrible. And when I was thinking and praying about this at Ashburnham last week, sitting actually by a lake, suddenly the Lord gave me a picture. Now, some of you will know what that is, when the Lord just gives you a vision or a picture. I'd said, "Lord, can you think of an illustration for here?" And he gave me a picture of a new car. It was gleaming, it had just come from the garage, they polished it up beautifully, and it was so attractive, and of course it had an E-registered number plate, didn't it? You know, and there it was, and being the sort of person I am, because Tony Wheeler, being the engineer, has told me what to do, when you get anything new, the first thing you do is look underneath it, or open the inside. And so I got down on my knees, and I looked underneath the car to see if it was undersealed. And in this vision, I saw this gleaming car, and I looking at the underseal, and then I noticed that at one end, the undersealing, the spray gun, had missed. And there was where the where the bottom of the chassis joins the side that goes up, there were some that wasn't sprayed, and they'd taken it out on test, and the car had laid on one of these parks for months perhaps, and there was rust, and it was just beginning to grow. And you know, when rust gets underneath the paint and underneath the underseal, it causes bubbles. And there were just a few bubbles, an inch around this little bit, that had never been undersealed. And I looked at that in the vision. I looked at that gleaming car that said everything. But underneath, there was rust. And it was beginning to eat away. Now that's what a lack of forgiveness does in your life and mine. It will eat into your experience. Just you go to the cross and ask the Lord to give you that forgiving heart and life that is prepared, even in difficult circumstances, even if you've been in Hungerford this week, and say your mum or your child had been murdered. Would you have been able to ask Jesus to give you a forgiving love towards the person who did it? Now that's what the gospel says is possible. And that's the kind of lives we've got to have. But there's a third and even more important reason why you should adopt a forgiving heart and life and attitude. And that is, above all, you harm yourself. Those Moore's murderers, the mums and the dads of the children who were murdered on the Moors, those, what, 20 years ago, if you've seen them interviewed on television, they are hard and bitter and unforgiving. And it's sad to see lives ruined by it, whereas adopting a forgiving heart in life just changes things so much. That's why God in his word in Matthew chapter 18 has got that picture of the unforgiving servant. Remember, the master forgave him a tremendous debt, and then he immediately went back, Jesus said, and said to another servant, you owe me this, come on, pay up. And God said, if he's been forgiven much, he should forgive much. And you and I have been forgiven much in the Lord Jesus on the cross and in God's love. And the very least we can do is forgive others who wrong us. When I was in the bank, I had a bank customer. She's gone to glory now, so I don't need to be too secretive about it, and nobody would know. But I'll give you a name. You can just a specimen name. She was a Mrs. Colton, and she was 80-odd. And she had an enormous cash balance on her current account. When I tell you that she kept enough money on her current account at the bank to employ me for 100 years and still have a bit left on it, you'll know how big was her balance. But she was not only possibly a miser, but she lived in a small flat in Chelsea, and she always came to us on two buses. She'd never hire a taxi, and when she came in, she said, oh, I've had a terrible time getting here today, it's so difficult, the first bus was full and then I had to stand up and all the rest. And I used to sit her down in a room and I used to talk to her, and I used to say, but my dear, don't you see that life is meant to be better than this? And, you know, she was so wrapped up in herself. And I got her, one day I managed to get through to the situation. And she had been, her husband had left her, and she'd never ever forgiven what happened, and she'd never ever forgiven God for allowing it to happen. And her whole life had become entwisted. And she wouldn't spend anything, and she had no friends, and nobody spoke to her. And indeed, she even resented the bus fare to come and talk to me, and I was the only one who did talk to her. And oh, isn't it sad? Bones out of joint. God doesn't want that. God wants us to live that lovely, forgiving life. Now, the contrast to it was when I was at Spring Harvest this year, down at Butlin's camp in Minehead. I don't think even Dory knows this. Suddenly thought about it. All the cars have to be parked in the car park on the perimeter of these holiday camps. Some of you will know that. And I parked my car, and the people who come and park by me had parked a bit close. You know what I mean? And so, when I came to get my car out, their cars were still there. I had to go out for something. And I had to do that sort of shuffling back and forth to get out enough to turn round, because there were other, you know, you're in a parked tight. And in the course of doing that, doing it as gently as I could, as I came back, my rear bumper just touched the fella next door's plastic sidelight cover. And it cracked it. Didn't break it, just cracked it, you see. And so when I got out, I put a little note under the windscreen, because he wasn't there, you see, and I didn't know where he was in all the 5,000 people in the camp. So I just put a note under the windscreen that said, "I'm sorry, in the course of trying to get out from this space, I touched your front side light cover, and you'll know it's cracked. Please have it repaired and send me the bill. Sorry." And, you know, it had my address on it and all the rest of the name. How it all. Okay? And, of course, we all went back. I never met the fellow. I didn't see him. Got home, and about 3 days later, I had a letter from an address in Bromsgrove, Birmingham, from this fellow, who said, "Dear Keith," because we'd written, excuse me, "thank you so much for talking about my sidelight cover, but really it was nothing, and it so happens that I work for British Leyland, which the car was, so I got the replacement part cost price, and I fitted it myself. Forget it, that doesn't matter, but praise the Lord that our relationship's not disturbed." Now that's what he said. So I wrote back to him, and I got a little, when I was in America, I got a book that's out of print here, called Cinderella with Amnesia, which is about the church. Good book by Michael Griffiths. And so I thought, now he can't get that here. Because some of the teaching was about the church. I'll send that to him as a love gift, you see. So I sent it off as a love gift to him and thanked him. I got another letter back saying, "Oh, doesn't the Lord heap blessings on us, you know, blessings after blessing." And you see, it's a life of forgiveness, isn't it? And that's the way God wants it, isn't it? So there you are. Greatly have you been forgiven in the Lord Jesus. Greatly forgive. Amen.